In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
A podcast that's going to be worth every penny of £9 million, eh, Rob?
plus add-ons.
Yeah, plus add-ons, exactly. Sorry, in, out, first of all, so on. Oh, shows the power of email, because had it not been for our contributions, as Richie said, it was unlikely Monsieur Rhodes would be appearing on the show today. clearly he heard that. I thought, I can't give that up. You know,
no.
Could have been the deal, clincher. Welcome, Jordan. We love you, even though you're Scottish. Sorry, that's my official line.
Okay.
It's because your last Scottish centre-forward's challenging. That's the only sort of manager thing for that. And farewell, adios, Kike.
Yes, adios, Kike.
And, of course, adios, Diego Fabbrini as well.
Yes, and Amorbieta, back to Fulham.
Yeah.
All change.
Yeah, well, all change for the last general haul. I think
yes, indeed.
Clearly, the team from the East Midlands that I fully expected to get thrashed last time didn't.
No.
And the astounding result, as indeed, you know, even a magician in the East Midlands, David Fox, I said I'd give him a name check, said he was equally shocked
right.
Nottingham Forest beat Borough. And he's Scottish as well.
We hear Nottingham Forest used to be the first line of a chant
when I was
a young kid.
Yeah. Still, never mind. We must put all that behind us.
We must.
Because three magical games work through. Obviously, Jordan versus his former club.
Yeah. Yeah.
MK Dons, and then some vague side from, I think it's Elland Road they play.
Yes.
Something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't want to sort of push too far from that point of view. Let's talk Rhodes to start off with.
You're right.
If you hear, dear listener, during the course of this little podcast, me slightly distracted, just because I'm looking at the front cover of issue 563 versus Blackburn Rovers, and, yeah, clearly Zoo and Nuts magazine have actually re-emerged as part of FMTTM.
Saucy seaside humour.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. It's for the red car fans, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. But let's talk Jordan Rhodes again. That notion of, it seems to be going on for years because literally
the link
to Teesside, has been pretty
all
much.
All roads to Teesside.
Yeah. I knew you'd say that. That's what I put it in the description.
Yeah, we tried to get him at the start of the season and, it didn't happen. And then we thought we'd start the saga this long weekend, as it was a long weekend, was quite incredible, wasn't it? It was announced on Friday that it was signed and then but he still needs to have his medical, but still needs to talk personal terms. And then it was like Saturday everybody was quite relaxed really, always having his medical. We'll find out at the end of the day. Oh no, it's tomorrow, it's Sunday. And then Sunday that the rumour mill started to, you know, Sunderland have come in with an audacious last bid. And
why would he want to go down to another side that effectively sort of looking to head
yeah,
down
well,
to the championship?
It didn't really work out there. But what did happen was that it transcribed that actually the deal had broken down on Sunday morning, which was quite incredible. Only for news to filter through on Monday, so that everyone was devastated. We'd been so excited and so just really flat, and then Monday morning it was Sky Sports News, wasn't it, that Rhodes is on his way to Middlesbrough. It took him a long time to get here, it seemed, but the deal was on in the end.
In the words of Stanistan, the road to nowhere, only the Borough can ruin your weekend without even kicking a football.
Yeah. But they got the man in the end.
Which is true, and clearly there's going to be a lot of expectation. Possibly twin spearhead with David Nugent might.
It's possible,
you know,
isn't it?
Could work through on that basis.
Or he could. He has played as a lone striker. He played most recently at Blackburn, I think. And he's been successful in whatever sort of formula it's in the past.
And if folk are sort of thinking, oh yes, but what about all the experience, etc., can I just cite one example, Troy Deeney, as somebody who, again, people are talking about for a lot of time, and I think not single-handedly, but obviously he's had a lot to do with Watford's success in the Premiership this season. So
Troy, fantastic scorer in the Championship season after season.
Yeah, yeah.
But, of course, nobody in English football has a record to match Jordan Rhodes since, I think it's 2012, isn't it? He's got a phenomenal, he's the highest scorer, is it 83 goals, something like that in that period since. So,
and adds to that the sensational Bury defence, which will not be breached too often, I think, from that perspective.
Well, we think Ben Gibson is fit now, fit to play, and that'll make a big difference. We did miss him in those matches, and he plays so well with Ayala. Sadly, George Friend got injured in the first half against Nottingham Forest and played on for about 15 minutes on with one shoulder. Obviously, you don't need to run with your shoulder, but he was holding his arm.
Are you listening, Mr. Sturridge? Sorry.
Yeah.
And not that we sort of support Liverpool from that perspective, but I just thought, you know, the words and the views on Steve Sturridge, who now has put his transfer request. So obviously, too late. We've already got a striker. So, you know, could have gone for the whole thing.
But we obviously didn't just buy Jordan Rhodes in this transfer market, and we went to... We've a great loan sign, I think, from Leicester in Richie Delatt, who was quite phenomenal last season in the Championship. He's can play right back or left back. He'll fit in at left back, I think, for George Friend on Saturday. He's played a lot of games in the Premier League, so I think a lot of Leicester fans were quite surprised that they loaned him out. So that, again, Karanka said yesterday at his press conference very excited about by getting that signing. He was asked about his signings, what he felt about his transfer business. Was it 100% what he would have wished for going into it? And he said, well, it was 100% what he would have wished for, and then Jordan Rhodes came on top. He said he couldn't believe that we managed to do that, and that he just feels so lucky to have the chairman that you have at Middlesbrough, that he always comes up with something special. And we've remoulded the side for this running period. I wanted to sort of double underline the fact that it's the players that we've had at the club that have got us to this position, that have got us into the top two. We stumbled in the last couple of matches, and now we've really freshened it up, haven't we?
Quoting Mike Baker, you see, he's just name-checking contributors to FMTTM. Like, yeah. It's nobody's business here. January didn't quite go according to plan.
No.
A different line from there. We can be cheerful about all this now, but for a time of the weekend, it looked as though the Rhodes deal might not go through. Well, it has. It will be. And obviously, your role, Rob, is to ensure that Jordan Rhodes doesn't identify flying to the moon before too long. Joe Nicholson, clearly quite happy, I think, being up in that other place that we talked about earlier.
We did.
It's University of Sunderland. but as he said, for Middlesbrough fans, transfer deadline day is usually a day when nothing much happens. And actually, around the overall grounds, apart from obviously Newcastle putting in their sort of two pennants left, right and centre, and looking to get Saido Borahino and various other folk as well.
Yeah,
extraordinary. But from that thing, you could probably say, as many of the broadsheets said, that actually the biggest deal was a certain Pep Guardiola going to another side entirely. But, you know, again, I won't, because I'm a professional and I'm not going to go there. You know,
no, don't go there, don't go there.
I won't go there.
Stoke City, of course, it was the biggest signing, wasn't it? That's it. Mark Hughes.
Well, I mean, obviously he had such success with Rubinho and other sort of greats, oh, etc. Yeah. So I'm sure he's got another winner from that point of view. I know Sparky Hughes fan. I say fan, probably singular. Probably fans there. You were right with Vincent Kompany, but apart from that, that's a different line. Happy birthday to Fly Me to the Moon founding father, Rob Bowl. You see, we've even done this before the commercial break to actually sort of take that time to actually say, well done, the man who actually, good heavens, turned 5-0.
Yes, indeed.
He has hit the big 5-0.
He came up with a Fly at the Moon name.
Right. So that was the sort of line from that perspective.
He was one of the first three editors of the founding fathers.
So just as Gay Lofthouse, now of course breakfast presenter at Minster FM, came up with Scholars in Radio Entertainment for Siren FM, Rob,
is that
sort
right?
Of line. Yeah, just thought, you know, sort of point through that sort of thing.
Yes, he came up with Flight to the Moon, and he explains the story in the fanzine.
It was the autumn of 1988. Issue number one of Fly Me to the Moon appeared for Borough vs Sheffield Wednesday. We knew Tony McDonough would appear some way, shape or form for that, Medilla cycling and so on. On Saturday, November the 26th, 1988.
Indeed.
Last century. Just for the record, Borough lost. Anyway, there you go. Wonderful fanzine that was actually there. Very much the case, but just looking back briefly on this whole thing, the fanzine itself, and you've spoken to students about this, it's one of those areas where it does reclaim the voice of the fans for the fans in their love for a football club, because even more so now, it would seem, in this hyper public relation oriented world where everything is talked about spin and as I say, the likelihood of actually sort of really getting one to one with players or getting the off guarded comment or various other factors has long gone. This is something where you can actually at least say that in most cases, what Fly Me to the Moon and others do, of course, Fly Me to the Moon still has the wonderful silky print edition, which is wonderful stuff. so I have to be careful. Just go there with respect to the front cover, because. But on that, you buy it. That's all I have to say. Just buy it. You're listening to this now. Just ignore it. Just shell out your £1.50, and you will probably treasure this in years to come. It's probably the most outstanding cover I've seen ever. But apart from that, it does give the opportunity for genuine fans to comment in an articulate phrase, not in a kind of, aggressive phrase, but, about the, their club, in this case, the Borough, obviously.
Absolutely. And, there's a couple of bits of history in this fanzine, because there's also a piece with the artist Alan Morley, and he's the guy that actually did the cartoon Moon. And he reveals to us that, he was a bit of he had a little bit of a role to play in modern art history.
Tomorrow is the last chance to see probably the best exhibition of local art ever amassed on Teesside. What are you saying? I'm listening to this sometime in May. What do you mean tomorrow? Don't do that. We're assuming that you're listening to this on the day it actually goes out, which is, of course, the day before Borough's game against Blackburn.
Yes, the last day ever for localism at MEMA, which has been going for about 6 months, is Sunday the 7th of February, and there's a big closing party, and I would urge everybody, if you haven't been, or if you have been, go and have another look, because it's been, as you were saying about the fanzine, there's actually a fanzine corner and the Fly Me to the Moon corner in that exhibition, but as you were saying about the fanzine, which is by the fans, for the fans, localism was put together by local people maybe not just for local people, but for anybody. But it was put together by an awful lot of people, an awful lot of artists, people who are interested in the history of the area. And it's all about the art history of Middlesbrough and Teesside. And some people don't like modern art. Or they just say, I don't like modern art. It's a sort of blanket statement. But the modern art collection was started in the late 19th century in Middlesbrough. And so that modern art goes back quite a long time. It's quite historic, a lot of it. So
from L.S. Lowry's Middlesbrough Town Hall to a wall devoted to the former old streets of Grangetown. It's interesting to see Asa Briggs, of course, who wrote the definitive history of the BBC, wrote Great Victorian Cities, and Middlesbrough is actually incorporated.
It is indeed. It's a chapter about Middlesbrough, that's right.
So I just sort of, I've just ordered it on a certain website, that's why.
All right.
Very good. Okay, still to come on Fly Me to the Moon, lots of talk about the upcoming game against Blackburn, a whole heap of other scenarios as well, including we project ahead into what will be a sensational February month, and look at some of the opposition. I don't really see much opposition, really. I mean, Hull City have got a game against Arsenal in the Cup, so they're obviously going to be sort of devastated about that.
A major distraction.
Yeah, exactly. And we know how much Steve Bruce and Hull love playing Arsenal. Probably take 2-0 lead and then lose it 3-2 or something. It'll help Arsenal's spring collapse, the traditional one. And, of course, we look at Burnley, Derby, Brighton, of course, who managed to sort of sneak up, potentially could sneak up to third place if they actually, if results go ahead.
Yeah.
So lots of other sort of things to talk about after this.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough, and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223 34. That's 01642 223 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Hundred Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Slow down. Hang on.
And a tablespoon. And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
And that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols and Fly Me to the Moon.
Sorry, Rob was going to speak there, but he was just sort of taken aback by, again, the Bernie Slaven.
Well, Bernie's actually, Joe Nicholson, who sometimes is an occasional guest here, has done an interview with Bernie Slaven in the fanzine, in this particular fanzine.
See,
so
it's just one, is he, all tied in together.
Yes, so indeed. Just,
and they think that the planning that we sort of set up back in, actually, the summer for these shows, is simply true. I see the Sean Keogh interviews, talking about another great from Bernie's time, of course, Craig Hignett.
Yeah.
From that point of view, this is, of course, a classic from that perspective, and a man this, who, of course, went on to play for Blackburn Rovers.
He did indeed, that's why I thought that the Blackburn link. But it's interesting, these are the sort of archive interviews, and this interview was done
classics, Rob. That's what
classics, right? This interview was done after he'd been released by Middlesbrough Football Club, and it was 4 days, I think, before he went to join Aberdeen. And it's quite an interesting interview because he's quite bitter about the whole process at that time, and reflecting back about how he'd taken a wage cut, if you recall, to stay with Middlesbrough at one point.
I think, and has come across obviously from his co-commentaries on BBC Tees, he's always been a passionate Borough fan.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just obviously from it. And really one of the last of what used to be a fairly regular sort of ferry between Liverpool or Merseyside and Middlesbrough, really, in various ways. Two ways, because obviously we gave them
Souness,
Hodgson, and Craig Johnson.
Craig Johnson, yeah, that's
so,
right.
There were interesting sort of lines on that basis, and in return we got Phil Borsma. Oh, no, sorry, it's okay.
Big hair.
Fantastically big hair.
Yeah.
You know, compared to Borsma, Souness was just, you know, an ant by comparison. You know, it's just that sort of hair. It's phenomenal. Possibly Billy Ashcroft. I think he was.
Oh, Ashcroft, the biggest of all.
Superb. Yeah. Talking musical things, as we were, in Lincoln, home of Siren, and indeed, we actually have done one of the Fly Me to the Moon shows from the Siren Studios, if memory serves, I think. You weren't there, but we did it via phone link.
So yeah, that's right, yeah.
We did do that. but there's a band from Teesside, a superb band, who in fact are performing at the aforementioned exhibition at MEMA on Sunday that will be in Lincoln, so any folk who'd like to sort of check this out would like to know about?
Ah, right. You're putting two things together there.
Oh,
it's, I went to see Cattle and Cairn last night, right. Who played at Saltburn Community Theatre, and they're going out on a national tour, and they are playing in Lincoln, next Friday, which is, what day is
that? The 12th of February. Of course it is, 12th of February. 2 days before Valentine's Day. What a perfect treat for your loved one to take them to go and see Cattle and Cairn. You know, and even, you know, it's only 126 miles from the borough. Get yourself down there.
Exactly.
Prove your loyalty to the band who played Saltburn. You know, that's the key thing. Sometimes I feel we get a bit too surreal even for ourselves.
Anyway. And they played last night. Their encore was Infant Hercules, which is a tribute to Teesside Industry.
And Gladstone.
And Gladstone.
Does he put in an appearance?
No. It was Chancellor when he said that, wasn't he? Yeah. Well, it was before he was Prime Minister. But I'm trying to link this into the...
You're doing extremely
into the fact that... at MEMA, the closing, the finale is brought down by Kingsley Chapman and the murder. Kingsley Chapman is an assistant at MEMA, but he was the singer from the Chapman family who gained quite a bit of fame in the last few years. But now he's got together a band, a brilliant band, a melodramatic band, should we say, and they're going to bring down the final curtain at localism.
Nice, yeah. Kingsley Chapman and the murder. Clearly, sometimes, Rob, you get presenters who get these stories confused, and it needs you to actually sort it out.
Unravel them.
Exactly, because, you know, there we are. It's Kingsley Chapman and the murder at MEMA, and Caitlin Kane.
Caitlin Kane. And you'll have to look up the venue in Lincoln, because I know they're playing in Lincoln.
I suspect it might be the Jolly Brewer.
Okay.
That's highly likely.
Right.
That is the place that most bands actually do, so I'm saying the Jolly Brewer from that point of view. If you get to the Jolly Brewer in Lincoln and you ask for Caitlin Kane, I'm sure they'll point you in the right direction.
Maybe, Alex, maybe you might be able to get them on Siren FM.
That would sort out the things, wouldn't it? Exactly. Yeah, it's a different routine.
Yeah.
We will look to that. Okay, let's move to... what is this? Oh, yes, football. That's right. Follow me to the...
Oh, that's right.
Footballing fanzine, from that perspective. Hull, just about... Just sort of doing... I mean, they've done reasonably well to get back to the top of the... To the summit of the table. Burnley, Derby, Brighton and Ipswich, of course. I think Sheffield Wednesday. Birmingham, I wouldn't say, are necessarily out of it from the playoffs perspective.
No.
After that, I would say that's pretty much it. I mean, my outside bet a few weeks ago, and despite the result against Middlesbrough, I'm still not convinced Nottingham Forest will necessarily get the velocity that they need
to
go all the way.
They were unbeaten for a dozen games, weren't they, with the Middlesbrough game making it a dozen. Birmingham, of course, have signed Diego Fabbrini from Watford, but obviously he'd been loaned at Middlesbrough. That'd be interesting to see what effect he can have, because Birmingham went through a period where they couldn't score goals at all. They've come out of that, Derby seem to have hit a bit of a blip, don't they?
Wouldn't it be ironic, in a sense, if Birmingham get up via the playoffs whilst that other side from Birmingham go down? That'd be a lot of shredding of gnashing of teeth there, wouldn't it?
Well, Aston Villa look nailed on to go down. It seems to be...
I can't see them getting out of it now.
No. Their last possible gamble, in a way, was the transfer window, which they didn't take part in, did they?
And, of course, they last went up when Borough went up with them back in the 80s, I believe. Was that when Villa sort of effectively headed up that sort of line? I'm sure we had that wonderful Tony Mowbray-headed goal.
That's right.
Against Villa.
Our first ever live game on TV. Exactly. A Sunday game, wasn't it? First ever Sunday game, I think, as well. Yeah.
So there you have it. You know, it's an interesting connection, which at one stage I had thought if they'd gone down last season, we might have actually gone up together. But no. But we could go up with another Birmingham side, is what I'm saying. It's an interesting
game. Yes, it's possible, isn't it? But Hull look to be in their pole position at the moment. But they were, of course, in their pole position when they beat us at KC Stadium. Mm. And then they stuttered. And every team... And Middlesbrough being the latest, have done that through this season. Have stuttered. I think Derby are probably under the most pressure at the moment because they really seem to have hit a bit of a wall, and they've spent big. Burnley have talked big and have been pointing the finger at other clubs, Middlesbrough notably, for spending a lot of money.
And yet, parachute payments, Burnley? Just a thought.
Well, absolutely.
A couple of words there.
That's absolutely right.
The sort of sequence.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a sort of issue on that sort of basis.
And they think they play Burnley. So Burnley play Hull this weekend, so that's quite interesting. Basically, we've just got, we've got two games against Sheffield Wednesday. If Jordan Rhodes can score a few goals against his old club, that's going to set us on the road.
And so, looking to that, in terms of the next three, as we mentioned, Blackburn Rovers,
MK Dons, which is rearranged from the FA Precisely. Cup weekend.
And then, as I say, that Leeds United team.
Yeah.
Who could be an interesting sort of, because they tend to be, I would say, as volatile as their director. in many ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. They've got a cup run going as well, haven't
they?
And
it's a Monday night game.
It is a Monday night, which is quite unusual. Mm. And Leeds, we talk about hoodoos that we've blown apart, and maybe the last one is Elland Road.
Well, what better place, really?
Yeah.
A little final point from the wonderful work of From Borough to England Physio is the headline here. And you've actually got a feature with Alan Smith, not the Leicester City and Arsenal forward.
Or the former Leeds forward.
Indeed, exactly. And it's a great way forward from that point of view. Some wonderful things from that point of view. And also a connection, of course, with Alan Smith and Sheffield Wednesday. It's astounding. You know, we just can't get away from sort of the Tony McDonough thing. But he is looking forward to welcoming you to the On Your Bike official season awards ceremony.
Okay.
I remind you of that, Rob, because it's very good.
And Alan Smith, to tie up with Mima, he had a corner in the Mima localism exhibition as well. Alan Smith is probably somebody that a lot of people will know by sight because he appeared in a lot of the World Cup and European Championship team photos for England, because he was the England physio through a glorious period, including Euro 96. Mm. I think he served under about 8 managers, something like that, when we were going from one to the other. And he came to Mima recently to recount his memories and to show off his silver cap, because when he finished, they gave him a unique trophy in a silver England cap. And he started his career as a Middlesbrough apprentice in the 60s. He broke his leg at the age of 17. And the then Middlesbrough physio, Jimmy Hedridge, who was a pioneer as a physio, saw something in him.
Take that magic sponge away. We can do something much more scientific and better.
That was the difference with Middlesbrough and most clubs, because, of course, we had the England doctor in Dr. Neil Phillips. We had Harold Shepperson, the England trainer. And we had Jimmy Hedridge, who was only in his 20s. And he was one of the first, it wasn't just the magic sponge. Mm. He actually went away and studied physiotherapy properly, and then give diplomas. He tutored it. His legacy was the next generation of proper physios in football.
And he got Alan Shearer fit for Euro 96.
He did indeed. And Terry Venables asked him. He had a hernia operation, I believe. And he got him into a state of fitness. And then it was his call, Alan Smith. Will Shearer be fit enough to play? Should I select him? Alan Smith said yes.
And we got to the semi-finals.
We did, and Shearer got the golden boot.
Exactly.
And that sort of was the making of Alan Smith's name, really, as a...
And 20 years from then, wouldn't it be nice to see England do similarly well, if not better, in France? But that's to come. That's to come. You know, that's after Borough have won the championship and marched on from that perspective.
A lot of good England players around at the moment. Tottenham and Leicester finally being given the opportunity to play in the first team in the Premier League.
How do people get hold of paper copies and a cover which will blow your mind, male or female, actually, and indeed possibly transgendered? But in terms of that, how will they actually?
Well,
get
I hope
hold
people go. I hope everyone's going to go to the Blackburn Rovers match, because everyone's surely excited about the idea of Rhodes starting for Borough and playing against his old club. And so hopefully you'll buy, you'll
and
look out for Sella around
the match. Because obviously it's Cecil Rhodes, former founder of Rhodesia, who's actually... Oh, no, it isn't.
No, it's not.
I'll leave that
There's
to
no statues
in,
of no, Cecil Rhodes in this town.
Exactly. He's not going to be pulled down.
No, he's not going to be pulled down. That's right, yeah.
So how do people get hold of the remaining copies apart from purchasing directly from the match?
Yes, you can subscribe. You can still subscribe. Got a lot of subscribers now, which is brilliant. You could, if you look at the website fmttm.com and click on subscribe, or email me at robshrug@gmail.com, and I can subscribe for the rest of the season, or I can throw in the back issues. And
it's been absolutely super sensational, to use a wonderful sort of phrase. Issue 563's podcast companion is now virtually complete, apart from 7 final concluding words. I know, we haven't even mentioned the Six Nations, which starts for rugby fans over that, but that's because it's a different sport.
It is a different sport.
Exactly.
Why I mentioned that.
Well, I was in deference to Jenny Finch, who obviously sort of we like to feel she's a good author, but...
Our book of the month.
Exactly, our book of the month sort of person. Anyway, that's it, Rob. Final 7 words to wrap up. 7 words.
Good job.
A 1, a 2, a 3...
Come on, Borough, and
come
up the Borough.
And up the Borough. 7 simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.